When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I've just smashed a spaghetti bolognese. Welcome to the IPL Super Over Show. It's Monday night in Sydney. I'm Menas. I'm joined by Paul. Paul, can you believe it? The regular stage of the IPL is done and dusted. It's finals time, just like that.
Yeah, g'day, Menas. Just like that with 70 games, but it did seem very quick. And it's amazing that this time next week we'll be talking about the winner.
Yes, and what a way for the regular season to come to a conclusion with two youngsters starring on the final evening. Cameron Green for Australia, making a brilliant century for Mumbai off just 47 balls. An ominous sign for his opponents to come, especially those in the near future. And then, well, we saw a changing of the guard almost in India with Virat Kohli outdone by Shubman Gill. Both scored centuries, but Gill's team got the chocolates and that knocked out RCB. So a dramatic final evening. Indian and Australian fans, I'm sure, will look forward to seeing Gill v Green soon in plenty of contests. But Paul, well, for those listening for the first time, we've got six balls to dive into to wrap up the week's action. It's a super over of IPL highlights. Paul, you get to open the bowling this week.
Well, first of all, just on that, we sometimes talk about how much cricket has changed. Sorry?
Well, I just like monologued and then...
No. It wasn't said that at all. I mean, I'm the king of the monologue. what I was going to say was that one of the refrains of us people who've got some memories from cricket a long time ago about how much cricket has changed, it wouldn't have been that long ago that scoring 101 not out of 61 would be regarded as the greatest innings of all time. Now it's talking about that innings by Kohli has resulted in a changing of the guard.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, bring it on home. You've got the first ball.
All right, so we'll just recap the table to begin with. So Gujarat finish on top. They all played 14 games, so Gujarat finished on 20 points, so 10 wins and 4 losses. Next up was CSK down on 17 points, just ahead of Lucknow. LSG coming into the finals, the unfashionable and unfavoured LSG, also on 17 points, and Mumbai round out the top four on 16 points, a little bit unlucky. Below them, Rajasthan and RCB, both on 14 points. And both of them, not that it matters, but with a better net run rate than the Mumbai Indians, who finished above them. But such is the nature of T20 cricket. Menas, do you reckon that those top four represent the four best teams?
I think it's pretty close. I think RCB would like to think they were in the top four, but I just don't think their bowling is good enough to have them in there. So, yeah, I think so.
And, yeah, I agree. I think that it would be nice to have RCB in there. You know, everyone wants to see Coley and Maxwell play a bit more, but I've started to get a soft spot for Lucknow late in the piece. They'll probably win my award as the at the power rankings this time through to have come win to make the finals. And in third spot, better net run rate than Mumbai Indians as well. The last four games, all of the top four teams have had three wins and one loss. So pretty close there. I noticed, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, but that if you look at the betting, that Lucknow are the clear outsider to win. And I really deplore data mining. I don't know about you, Menas, but I decided to do some just for the sake of it. I tried to come up with a stat that would prove that Lucknow are going to win. So I cherry-picked and cherry-picked. And actually, the first one I did just about did the job. I said, okay, let's just look at their last four games and add up all the position of the teams where they – so if they beat a team that came seventh, that's 7 points. If they beat a team that came sixth, that's 6 points. Add them up, and the game that they lost, give them a have to add that double to kind of give them a bit of a punishment. So with that insane formula, it probably means nothing. Gujarat finish on 27, CSK on 36, and tied for first, Lucknow and Mumbai on 23. So this is a kind of an exercise in 2 points. One, it now justifies me being able to have a little bit of money on Lucknow and Mumbai and pretend that I've done some analysis. And two, it shows how easy you can make things up. If you start with the end goal and work backwards, you can prove most things.
Maybe the worst data mining in history. I've got a stat for you later on that will refute that.
In essence, Lucknow are going to win. And on the flip side, down at the wrong end of the table, we should just mention that one slight, very minor good thing for poor old Delhi Capitals is they didn't end up finishing last. They came second last. And Sunrisers Hyderabad finished last. And I was, with the coaching staff that they've got, who are all sort of, you know, all recent ex-players, it's not necessarily a surprise. I think they need a bit of a clean out there at that franchise.
It's interesting because I know I have an idea of what David Warner is like. And I know that the one thing he will take from this IPL is the fact that his team finished ahead of Sunrisers, the franchise that let him go unceremoniously a couple of years ago. Yes, I agree with you. LSG, three wins to sail into the finals. They often say, you know, you want to be peaking at the right time, but I guess, and you, this is where you really come into it. I mean, for LSG to win from here, they need to win three more games, which would mean six in a row. So that's a pretty good run they'll need to go on.
Yeah, it is. Although that sounds a bit like some of those people who go to the roulette wheel and say, well, I'm going to wait for five reds in a row and then I'll bet on black because surely there can't be six in a row. Whereas, you know, the universe doesn't know that they've won those three. They're in the past.
Cricket's not exactly like roulette. All right. Well, you finished with your power rankings for the week.
Yes.
Great ladder. Exciting all the way. I think we got the top four now. It's to Aussie Watch, but a little bit of a twist on Aussie Watch for ball too. So instead of sort of going into the performances of the week, I want Paul and I to letter grade each Australian on their performances in the IPL. And we're only going to do the Australians that have been eliminated because the players that are still there, obviously their story is yet to be concluded. So let's start with the Delhi Capitals.
Given that I'm not actually American, so I'm not all that familiar with letter grades, but it's like A, B, C, D, and you can have plus and minuses.
Correct.
You skip E, and then there's an F, or is there a possibility of an E as well?
No, A, B, C, D, F, and then you're right, plus and minus.
Okay, cool.
Great. I can't believe, didn't you get letter grades growing up?
No, because I grew up in Australia. We got the high distinctions, credits.
I grew up in Rose Bay, and I used to get letter grades. Which is in Australia. All right. The Delhi Capitals, they finished ninth, only five wins. Ricky Ponting was the coach. Look, I give Punter, unfortunately, a D for this campaign. His team started slow. I thought it was a funny makeup of the top order, and I think it cost his team.
Yeah, I think I probably agree with you. I mean, if we were being a bit harsher, we'd give him an F, but I can't do that. I think a D, though, yeah. And we talked about it last time, that I think his brand as a coach has been damaged by this.
Agree. All right, now David Warner. 14 games for the Delhi Capitals as captain, 516 runs, 6 half centuries, made a blistering 80-odd in the final game for his team on the weekend, hit 5 sixes, which doubled his tally, so he had 10 for the tournament. So his strike rate was 131.63, was the 7th time he's gone past 500 runs in an IPL season. He's the only player to do it 7 times, and I give David Warner an A for his campaign.
Interesting. It's kind of strange how he began consistently scoring runs, but slowly, then kind of fell into a hole where he wasn't scoring runs. And then right at the end, he actually started to be a little bit more like the David Warner of old and score some runs at some speed. I think I can't quite give him an A. I think I'll give him a B, straight B, for David Warner.
Interesting. The reason I've gone for an A is because, and I've said it a few times, but I really think he was hampered in his stroke play early on by some of the batters around him, that I think he felt responsible as captain to hold innings together when he didn't get much support. So, yep, 500 runs.
Yeah, you've convinced me. I'll give him a B+.
And the other thing was, then I looked at strike rates, and like Devin Conway, who I think's had a really good season for Chennai, he's hitting, you know, marginally better. All right. Next player, Mitch Marsh, 9 games, 128 runs, highest score of 63, average 14.22, a strike rate of 132, but he did take 12 wickets with the ball, best of 4 for 27, an average of 14.16, but an economy rate of 8.42. I give Mitch Marsh a C, thought he bowled okay. Batting way under. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. I give him a C as well. I think that his bowling was good. The economy rate of 8.42 is okay, which sounds crazy, but that's how, you know, the speed of scoring in this tournament was such that that's not too bad. It's not quite elite, though. And the batting, that's a very disappointing average of 14. So I think a C is appropriate.
All right, now we move from the Delhi Capitals to the Punjab Kings. Trevor Bayliss is the coach. They finished 8th with 6 wins and 8 losses. I give Trevor Bayliss a B-. I think his team is about that talented. Like, I don't think they were ever really in with a genuine shot at finishing in the top 4 if you look at some of the other teams. So I think Bayliss did a pretty good job with what he had. B-.
I think I'd give him... I'd probably go a C+, given maybe just they did fall away a bit at the end as well. But yeah, I can't disagree. C+.
Now, Matt Short played 6 games for the Punjab Kings, 117 runs at an average of 19.5, a strike rate of 127.17, 4 overs, none for 25. I give Matt Short a D+, and I gave him the plus bit because it was his first IPL.
I thought that's the I think I'd agree with you. If you got to take into account that, I would give him that as well. I think if you just looked at it on and you didn't know and you just sort of those figures are pretty ordinary. Although only 6 games, so he didn't get really too much opportunity. So I might actually just contradict myself and actually give him a C-. No, I can't do that. I mean, I've given Matt. What did I give? Marsh a C+. This is what's hard when it's hard. It must be hard for teachers. I'll go back to a D+. Yeah.
To start in mind the marking curve from this segment.
You got to mark to the bell curve, mate.
Yeah. All right. Now the Rajasthan Royals. They finished 5th. 1 Australian. Adam Zampa played 6 games, 8 wickets, averaged 23.5 runs per over, conceded 8.54. I'm giving him a B. In the games I saw Zampa, he bowled well.
The funny thing is, and I tend to not disagree with you, but it's kind of like Mitch Marsh, because he bats, has kind of cost himself. Because if he didn't bat at all, we would just say, oh, yeah, he's averaging 14, economy rate of 8.4, he took 12 wickets. That's pretty similar to Zampa's record as well. But because Mitch Marsh bats as well and didn't do anything, we mark him lower. But, you know, Zampa didn't do anything with the bat. So what did I give Mitch Marsh?
Good point. It's a very good point.
Yeah. So
I should be writing these down.
Yeah. I'm sure our listeners are committing them to memory. Mm-hmm. I'll give him a B minus, Zampa.
Yep. All right. Now to RCB, they finished sixth. Unbelievable when you say it out loud. I just love it. Like the Melbourne Stars of the IPL. All glitz and glamour, but no substance. All right. Glenn Maxwell played 14 games, 400 runs off just 218 balls. Yes. Yes. That's a real stat. High score of 77, strike rate of 183.48. He hit a lazy 31 sixes. He did only bowl 10 overs. He took 3 wickets and it conceded 9 runs per over. I'll let you go first. As Maxwell is a little bit of a project of yours, what mark would you like to give him?
Yeah, well, I think if you just look at those figures, you would give him an A. And I think that's probably what I will give him. But I do sometimes think that the point that's been made about him in the past where that average is 33 is pretty good and that strike rate of 180 is very good. The only thing I'd like to see is maybe a strike rate slightly lower and average slightly higher. And they should have given him more bowling. You know, I know an economy rate of 9 is not great, but I think he could have bowled a few more overs. So I'll give him an A.
Hmm. I want to give him an A, but I'm going to give him a D because wherever, like that, I mentioned two clubs before, Melbourne Stars, RCB. What's the one common denominator at the moment? Glenn Maxwell. So it's probably his fault. But on performances, I'm just joking. I'll give him an A. He batted brilliantly, but I'm not superstitious, but geez. All right, now. One more player, two more Aussies actually to grade. Josh Hazlewood for RCB, 3 wickets in 3 games before his injury, conceded 8.44 runs per over. I'm going to give Hazelnut a C minus.
I think I'll give him a C plus.
I mean, it was three games is not much of a sample size to mark him on. But I guess if I'm RCB, I'm disappointed because I'd want more from him. And when you think about it, their batting was strong, but their bowling really actually could have done with more of Josh Hazlewood. They didn't get enough early wickets when they were bowling and it really cost them. So, yeah, I'm sticking with my C minus.
Fair enough.
And finally, I'm just going to twist the rules a bit here. I know Gujarat are still playing, but Matt Wade, 0 games for Gujarat. But I'm giving you an A+. Some of the best bench warming I have ever seen. Matt Wade, A+.
Very good. I'm just straight up and down. I don't do anything other than be honest, and I cannot rate him because he didn't play.
All right. Do you want to take ball 2, sir?
That was
ball three. Yeah, ball 3.
I think you've got ball 3. Now, we're going to go slightly out of order, but I think it's the next one up. You want to speak about it? Yeah. Then I'll do 2 in a row.
Yeah, it kind of flows on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, 2 balls in a row. It's like the 100. Same bowler at each end. I heard the 100 might be Vamoos gone, so that would be a shame. Anyway, now, it was a very good week for the King. Well, sorry. It wasn't a great week for the King the way it finished on Sunday night, but 200s for Virat in the IPL this week. The first 100 off 63 balls at a strike rate of 159 to help RCB win against the Sunrisers. That was really good win for RCB. They looked like they were, you know, hurtling towards the finals. And then after the first century last week, he said that he stays true to his technique because they have test cricket after the IPL. I've never been a guy who tries so many fancy shots because we have to play 12 months of the year. For me, it's not about playing fancy shots and throwing my wicket away. We've got test cricket after the IPL, so I've got to try and stay true to my technique. He goes on a little bit more. Next, on Sunday night in the game against Gujarat that they lost, Virat 101 not out of 61 balls, strike rate 166, but RCB lost and they look short. They look 10 or 15 short. Paul, did Virat's dedication to Test cricket cost RCB in the end?
Well, first of all, I think we both agree that it's just nice to hear him talk about the Test cricket. You sometimes wonder whether some of the Indian fans are thinking, oh, well, what are we going to do for this after the next 9 months? That's the end of cricket till the next IPL. I'm exaggerating, but it's great for him to be talking about Test cricket. I think he's, in some ways, I think he's selling himself short. I think if he did change his technique, not that he needs to, but I think if he did, he would be smart enough to be able to ring fence that and sort of say, okay, this is my IPL way of playing, get back into the nets and play more like Test cricket, and it wouldn't influence him because, you know, it's already a very different game, and already I'm sure he's got a different approach to the way that he plays T20 versus the way he plays Test. Now you're going to say, well, he doesn't play different shots, he just plays with a more aggressive intent. But I don't think it would affect his game that much if he did change his technique, but I don't necessarily think he'd become better. I don't know that that's the reason that Shubman Gill is scoring faster than him, that he's got a more funky technique. I think it's probably an attitude thing. Partially, it's probably just, you know, it is the next generation coming along. And you look at their overall records for the tournament, and it's quite notable that they both had very, very similar in terms of their output. The Kohli, 639 runs at 53, and Gill, 680 runs at 56. But it's the strike rates of Gill, 152, and Kohli, 140. So I don't think I can criticise him for the way that he played, but, yeah, just Gill has had a better IPL. Not many have had a better IPL than Kohli, but Gill's one of them.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's great for the King to be talking about Test cricket. It's great for him to put it on such a pedestal because he's such a big influence in India. But I do think maybe he should have just, you know, let go of the handbrake in that innings on Sunday night and really try and go hard in those last few overs and get his team a few more runs. Did it cost them the match? I don't know, but yeah, just interesting for him to say that. And you don't often hear batters admit to that. Often when you ask a batter, is it hard changing formats, they'll go, oh, no, we do it all the time. So for him to actually say that was quite interesting. All right, so that was ball three.
All right, so I'll do ball four, which we'll call ball five in our own minds. Yes. So stat leaders after the group stage. Now, firstly, I've forgotten which is the purple and the orange cap. So the purple/orange cap for the most runs, they actually count the finals, don't they?
I think so.
Yeah, but at the moment, it's Faf on 730 runs ahead of Shubman Gill, the aforementioned Shubman Gill on 680, and Virat Kohli on 639. So, yeah, he's scored the third most runs in the tournament, so not too bad for Virat. But that's the minor award. The more significant awards are... Well, firstly, we've created a new award, and that is the Curtis Patterson Award for the best strike rate with no minimum. Now, at the moment, Curtis Patterson has the best batting average in the history of Test cricket if you have no minimum requirements. So in terms of just who's got the best strike rate, no minimum runs, it's actually someone who scored more than you'd think. Rashid Khan has a strike rate of 237.5, and he scored 95 runs. So that's at an average of 47.5, admittedly six innings and four not outs. And Umran Malik has scored 19 runs at the same strike rate of 237.5. But that's very impressive from Rashid Khan. He should be opening the innings, of course.
Here we go, yeah. Just blowing past that.
Well, I mean, it's true. Next, the true official award. And this is final. We don't count the finals here. So the winner of the lime green cap for the best strike rate in the IPL with a minimum of 300 runs is Surya Kumar Yadav with a strike rate.
Yes. Sky's back.
185.1. 511 runs at that strike rate. Narrowly edging out our own Glenn Maxwell on 183. Klassen, who's had a superb, especially the second half of the tournament, 177. And Nicholas Poran at 173, round out the top four. Next up, we have the Jeff Marsh Award for the slowest strike rate of the tournament.
Let's call that the Aaron Finch Award, but anyway.
I feel a bit harsh on this because this is probably a compliment to Jeff Marsh, because the winner is, again, minimum 300 runs, is David Warner, who had a strike rate of 131, which 132, which is a strike rate that Jeff Marsh could only have dreamt of. But, that, yeah, it is what it is. And Rohit Sharma is second. Devin Conway, you mentioned as well, who's had a good tournament, but he comes third. Virat Kohli, fifth, slowest in terms of those who've made a minimum of 300 runs. A couple of special swampy mentions to those who didn't meet the minimum runs threshold but still had extraordinarily slow outputs. Kuldeep Yadav had 31 runs from 48 balls at a strike rate of 64.6. And Joe Root, 10 runs from 15 balls at a strike rate of 67. Now, it's pretty low sample size, but not the most successful IPL for Root. And then Deepak Hooda, 69 from 77 at a strike rate of 89.6. And just a reminder, of course, that Jeff Marsh's test strike rate was 35 and his one-day strike rate was 56.
But one of our one-day greats.
Who?
Jeff Marsh. 4,357 runs. And numerous centuries.
All you need to do,
Ian Booney.
All you need to do is we'll give him 56 as the strike rate. Multiply that by three. That's your output. If he was facing every ball, you get 168 runs. You're not going to win many one days like that, even in the 1980s.
And then you get Simon O'Donnell and Tugger in the last 10 overs. They go overrun a ball, and all's good. We get 210 and defend it.
Should never have played one-day cricket for Australia. Now, Adam Gilchrist Award for the most sixes. Faf du Plessis.
Love this one.
36 sixes, if you don't mind. Dubé, 33. Maxwell, 31. And Rinku Singh, 29. So plenty of sixes in the tournament. Now, the Michael Bevan Award for the best average with the minimum. Oh, that was, by the way, the where have I missed something here? I think I have.
Adam Gilchrist Award.
No, I think I missed the proper one, the Lime Green Cap Award. No, I haven't. Sorry, I've gone mad. Apologies, everyone. Here we are. Michael Bevan Award for the best average, minimum 300 runs. It is the man himself that we mentioned before, Rinku Singh, with an average of 59.25 ahead of Shubman Gill, 56.66. Cameron Green is in that list as well, 54.42. He's in fourth. Du Plessis is third, and Kohli is fifth. The Alan Knott Award for the best keeper. As always, this award is not given because the importance of keepers is vastly overrated and they probably all dead-heated anyway.
I like how you thought about these award names for our audience, our young Indian audience listening in Mumbai. Like, who's this Alan Knott? Who
you
is
wait,
Mike Brearley?
You know, one of my goals in life is to select an all-time England side and not have Alan Knott as the wicketkeeper and personally show it to every English tragic and just sort of wait for them to implode. You got to aim high in life. The Mike Brearley Award for the best captain, again, not given. Importance of captaincy is overrated. The Mike Brearley Award for the worst average, he averaged about 22 in Test cricket, for 5+.
Another 50-year-old joke, people. Come see our live show.
Oh dear. You wait till I've got one here that's gonna take it even further back than that. Sunil Narine had 10 innings, 3 not outs, 21 runs at an average of 3.0. Jason Holder had an average of just 6 from 5 completed innings. And Deepak Hooda, who I mentioned before. 10 completed innings at an average of 6.9.
They stuck with him.
Okay, now the orange purple cap, whichever it is, for the most wickets. At the moment, it's Mohammad Shami and Rashid Khan equal first on 24. But the real one that matters, the magenta cap for the best strike rate with a minimum of 30 overs. And this is final. We don't count the finals. Akshar Patel with a strike rate. With an economy rate of 7.19 is the winner ahead of Krunal Pandya, 7.23, and Kuldeep Yadav, 7.36, Mohammad Siraj, 7.50, and Ravi Ashwin, 7.51. So congratulations there. Now, Menas, those of you who are thinking that Mike Brearley was a bit of an outdated reference, we go to the George Loman Award for the best strike rate. People talk about Dale Steyn as having the best strike rate as a bowler, but you've got to look up George Loman from about 120 years ago. So best strike rate, minimum 30 overs. Moe Chama, strike rate of 12.2. So taking a wicket basically every two overs, followed by Mohammad Shami, 13.7, and Rashid Khan, 14.0. The Mick Lewis Award for the worst economy rate. And the rules for this are you have to bowl at least 50 balls, unless you're English, in which case you get counted as well. So the winner is Ben Stokes.
Two bowls. Mick Lewis, what, didn't he have, he had the most expensive 50-over figures for Australia.
Yeah, it was like 10 overs and he went for 90-odd or something.
Yeah.
So Ben Stokes bowled six balls, went for 18 runs. Pretty simple, economy rate of 18. Liam Livingstone bowled 42 balls at an economy rate of 13.42. And the actual probable winner would be Arshad Khan, left-arm medium pacer from Mumbai Indians, bowled 85 balls and went at an economy rate of 13.4.
Again,
so there you go. There's some stats for you, Menace.
Well, great awards. I'm not sure about the titles, but love the spirit. All right, we're going to take a quick break for those listening on the podcast, and we'll be back with Ball 5.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And for those not listening on the podcast, it was like it never happened. Welcome back to the IPL Super Over Show. I'm Menas, joined by Paul Dennett. We've smashed through four balls, two to go. I'll take this one. Scroll back past Paul's numerous awards. Now, I've got ball five here, and Paul and I are going to go out on a limb and pick our winning team from here. Also talk a little bit about the semi-final matchup. So Gujarat and Chennai are playing in the qualifier. The winner of that team goes through to the grand final. The loser plays the winner of the eliminator. So the eliminator is Mumbai v Lucknow. Loser goes home. Winner goes and plays the loser of the qualifier. So the key difference, as we were talking about before, is if you want to win from the eliminator, you have to win three in a row from there to win. I know you don't give me the roulette example again. I'm just telling the listeners the way it works. If you play the qualifier, you just need to win two matches out of three and you win the whole IPL.
That wasn't related to my roulette example. My roulette example is you talking about that Gujarat have won matches leading up to it and therefore the streak can't continue.
No, I'm just saying it's harder for Mumbai and Lucknow to win from the eliminator.
Yeah, yeah. I don't disagree with that.
Okay. Honestly. Well, only one team has won from there before.
Insane to disagree with that.
Good. Just checking. Clearly, I don't understand roulette or gambling.
you're saying that it's going to be harder for Lucknow because they've already won three, and therefore, if they're going to win, they will have to win six in a row. And you're saying it's pretty hard to win six in a row.
Yeah,
but
I'm saying, they want to get.
They've already won three. They've already won three. That's
got nothing to do with it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I agree. So only the Sunrisers in 2016 have won the IPL from the eliminator. So it's only been done once before. In 2021, Kolkata made it to the final from the eliminator, but lost to CSK in the final. So that's the situation. Anything you want to add to that, Paul?
I mentioned before at the start, just converting the betting odds to percentages because I think they're easy, interesting. And as you would expect, the two teams that have the second bite at the cherry are the favourites. So Gujarat, 38.0% chance of winning, just ahead of Chennai, 37.7% chance of winning. And then Mumbai, 15.4% chance of winning, and Lucknow, friendless, only 9.1% chance of winning. And as I said, I'm not predicting that Lucknow are going to win, but if I looked at those odds, given given everything, if I had to have money on it, I'd have luck now. They'd be paying about $11. That's who I'd be backing.
Interesting. Well, looking at the teams for me, my head is telling me Gujarat. They've just been so consistent throughout this IPL. Nothing ever felt lucky for me with Gujarat. Like they've been on any kind of, you know, they've never sort of gone through any massive swings of form. They've always been consistent. So I just feel that, you know, they're really well set up for these finals. But then my heart says, can CSK, the men in yellow, lift it one more time for MS Dhoni? And then can he ride into the sunset with another IPL title, you know, 50 billion Indians cheering his retirement? So my head says Gujarat, but my heart wants to say CSK.
Oh, yeah, my head says Gujarat as well. I think that they are the deserved favourites, albeit by an absolute minuscule margin over CSK. It's interesting that the opening two semis are both in Chennai. So even though Gujarat came first, they'll be playing away against CSK. But if they do make it through, well, whether they win or not, their next game, they'll then be at home for the rest of it, because the second qualifier is at Ahmedabad, as is the final. So I suppose it'd be possible for Gujarat to lose and then win their next two at home and win the whole thing.
Yeah, so really interesting from here. All right, so that was ball five. Now ball six, Paul. You want to close out the super over?
Yep, I do. Now where are we?
You're right six. Down the bottom.
Yeah. All right, ball six, the final ball of the super over, is with great suspense about to be given right now. Our MVP so far. Now, Menas, I just...
So for those who don't, MVP is an American term that means most valuable player. If we're explaining letter grades, we better explain MVP.
Yep, definitely. And I, as always in these sorts of things, try to do it purely on numbers. I didn't ask ChatGPT because it's not up to date with live scores, but that's the sort of thing I'd do. And I just think if you look at the numbers, it's hard to go past someone who I don't know if he'd be on the top of most people's lists, but I can't go past Akshar Patel for the Delhi Capitals in a well-beaten team that didn't really give a yelp. He finished as the most economical bowler in the entire tournament for those who bowled, a sufficient sample size of overs. So an economy rate of 7.19 with the ball. And then with the bat, he got 283 runs at an average of 28 and a strike rate of 139. So I just think that output is, I'd stand that against anyone else's in the tournament.
Interesting. So I'm a little bit more nuanced, say, than Paul. So when I was looking at MVP, I ruled out basically all the teams that were eliminated. Because I'm like, well, great, you might be an MVP, but if your team has been knocked out of the IPL, you can't have been that good. So that ruled out.
That's insane.
Six teams. I looked at some stats. No, but that was like when I saw Faf, I'm like, okay, it was good, but, you know, your team's finished.
So that means that if there's a relay race between four club runners who are good, decent runners, and then Usain Bolt, me and you and someone else, and we get eliminated, even though Usain Bolt has run the fastest time in the race by miles, you've got to say, mate, you're in the losing side. You can't run.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Fair enough. I was picking the MVP for that race. I would. That's bad luck. Find better teammates. Find better teammates. Yeah. Don't run with those two losers again. Because I did sort of toy with, some of the guys at the top of the batting charts and some of the other all-rounders. So I'll go with my number two. Marcus Stoinis is my number two. He's just been very good for Lucknow. And the stats don't tell the whole story. And I don't have the stats either, so I can't tell that story. But, yeah, Stoinis was my number two. And then you mentioned him. So this is what I don't understand. You know, when you were going through your, you know, Mike Brearley Award, your George Loman Award, your Sid Barnes Award, all this stuff, Rashid Khan's name kept coming up.
Mm.
he's the most obvious, most valuable player. So I've gone for Rashid Khan. 14 matches and an average of 47.5 with the bat. He went through it before. 95 runs, high score of 79, not out. Hit 11 sixes. You know, he only was needed six times. And what I like about him with the bat, clutch, and then top of the bowling, leading wicket taker, 24 wickets, average in the runs per over in the sevens.
7 point what?
Oh, where is it? You've got it up here somewhere. 7.82. There you go. Under eight.
I'll tell you what, you make a good case. He's at least second for me. I'll stick with Akshar Patel because I don't want to sound like an idiot. But Akshar Patel is my most valuable player, and Rashid Khan is my second.
I know my rules are I sort of went for the teams that did well, but you know, Akshar Patel and David Warner, you know, they were the stalwarts for Delhi. So he did have a great season. I do agree.
I think it's a pretty good choice, Rashid Khan.
I just love watching him play. I mean, I don't know if you've seen that, you know, he's in the finals for the best catch of the IPL, you know, running in off the boundary and grabbing the catch just off the carpet. He hit 10 sixes in one innings, and he doesn't have to bat much because his team's so good. And, you know, he can obviously one of the greatest spin bowlers in T20 cricket history. So he's just the whole package.
I'll tell you what, though, you would be tempted to in a knockout game or, you know, in the final or whatever else, to send him up the order. Like, you know, what have you got to lose? As a one-off, if I was the opposition captain and he swanned out to open the batting, I'd be like, oh, God, you know, this we'll probably get him out and it'll be fine. But if he lasts for five overs, it could, you know, could be curtains for us.
Absolutely. I think for Afghanistan, in some of the T20 matches I've seen, he bats a bit higher up the order and he does pretty well. I mean, he's a fantastic T20 batter. He's, you know, the archetype, just swings at everything. He's got shots all around the park and he's my most valuable player. His team finishes top of the table at the end of the group stage. And that is our six balls. And it's super over seven. Done. Super over show. Done. So, Paul, can you believe it? Four matches left. Going to be really exciting.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be pretty thrilling. I'm on the Lucknow bandwagon.
yeah.
If they win, I'll sound like I'm a genius. If they don't, I'll never mention it again.
Yeah, and I just love the way the regular season concluded. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. No questions in the chat, so we'll wrap this one up. We'll be back at the end of the IPL with our final super over for the IPL season, and such an exciting time for Cricket Unfiltered. So many good things to talk about. So obviously the World Test Championship and the Ashes are upcoming, and we're going to be doing lots of great podcasts. We've got some great episodes from last week where Paul, Jaleesa and myself wrapped up some of the cricket news. So if you missed that one, go back and give it a listen. Also, I've got a exclusive interview with Phil Jakes, the former Australian left-handed batter and just was released from New South Wales coaching position late last year. So that'll be released later this week. So look out for that. I've got a couple more interviews as well. So, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app. If you want those interviews exclusive and early, you can subscribe to our Patreon. They're in the description. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We've got a live show coming up in Sydney later this year. Paul, where can the listeners find you?
Paul.dedit on TikTok. And also look us up on TikTok, Cricket Unfiltered. I have a plan to get active ahead of the Ashes. I've got a whole lot of things to put up there. It just hasn't happened yet because life has got in the way. So I reckon I'm an 80% chance that I will do it. 20% chance you'll get nothing. There's an 80% chance that all this work I've been doing will pay off and I'll actually have some output ahead of the Ashes.
And I can tell you there'll be 100% chance there'll be clips of Phil Jakes and my latest guest on Benner's Masterclass on our TikTok. So Paul is right. Go and follow it. And look, all the links to everything we were just blabbing on about are in the episode notes if you're listening on a podcast. So thanks again. Thanks, Paul. We'll be back next week.
See everyone.
This is a Piccolo Podcast production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.